Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today and for this time. So here we are, ready to receive your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Let your word come forth without any restraint. Let that word penetrate our hearts. Let that word do a great work in our lives. May your word draw us closer to you. May your word guide and direct us in the name of Jesus. I pray may we all submit to the power and the influence and the authority of your word. Anything that will pose a hindrance, we clear it out of the way in the name of Jesus. Let your glory be revealed today through the preaching of your word. And in Jesus' mighty name have I prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. Well, this month of June, we've set it aside as a month for stewardship and leadership. Everybody say stewardship and then say leadership. So by the grace of God, my intention is to teach extensively about these two very important subjects. Hallelujah. And as an introduction, you may want to find out from me that, Pastor, what is stewardship? Now, stewardship is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. All right? It is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. Or it is taking good care of what has been entrusted to you. As a person sitting by you, if I give you my car, will you take good care of it? Or you are telling the person, you don't have a car, so don't ask me that question. All right. So you see, if somebody sets up a business, puts you in charge of it, and you run the business well, that is stewardship. Amen? Now, if somebody gives you her money to keep for her, and she comes back and you return the money without any funny stories, that one is also stewardship. Has somebody done something bad like that to you before? You gave the person money and the person didn't return the money. Very fantastic. Or if you bring it to the church setting, so you are put in charge of a department or a group or an assembly unit and you lead it effectively, that is stewardship. Amen. Stewardship is also taking good care of anything that God has entrusted to you. Now, how many of you know that anything in your life that is good, it came from God? How many know that? And anything that God gives to us, he's expecting us that we will take very good care of them. So, for example, if God gives you a job, he gives you money, he blesses you with a child, with a husband, with a wife, with a church, with a talent, even time. The time you have is a special gift from God. And if you manage them carefully, all these things that I have mentioned, then what you are exhibiting is stewardship. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking about stewardship in the course of this month. Then, of course, the other subject that we are interested in is leadership. Amen. And leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and to inspire people toward a common goal. Leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and to inspire people toward a common goal. And in leadership, You must learn to lead yourself, and then you lead others. Amen. So it is the ability to influence, to guide, and inspire people. People that you're in charge of, people who have been entrusted to you, to inspire them toward a common goal. Now, notice that I used words like influence, guide, inspire. I didn't say anything about dominate. I didn't say anything about control. I didn't say anything about manipulate. Neither did I say anything about exploit or intimidate. Because you see, for many people, that is what leadership is about. But I can tell you for a fact that God never created man to dominate other men. I'll say it again. God did not create man to dominate and to control other men. That's not God's idea. So if you read the story of the creation after he had created man, the Bible says that he blessed him and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And he said, "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moveth over the face of the earth." It does not include man. But because man was corrupted by sin, something that God never intended ended up becoming the norm. So people associate leadership with exploiting people, manipulating them, dominating them. Any type of leadership that shows things like that is not leadership from God. I'm telling you something. And as we go through this month and I share on this subject, you will understand it better. Amen. So again, leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and inspire people toward a common goal. So if you are a husband, a father of the home, and you ensure that your family is doing well, and the home is a good one and a peaceful one, what it actually reveals is that you are a good leader. Or you are given a shop to manage, a business to run, and under your watch, the business does well. Everybody in the company thrives. What it reveals is that you are a good leader. A teacher who is able to guide his students to do well, not through apo, but through good focused teaching, his students do well and they pass well, and he also trains them to behave well, that teacher is a leader, and a good one for that matter. And if you are in charge of a church, a branch, an assembly, a department, or any unit within the church, and you run it well, what it shows is that you are a leader and you are a good leader, because under your watch you are making things work well. Can I have an amen? All right. So now let me ask you some questions. So let's say you purchase a Toyota Vitz. Is there a car like that? Is it Toyota Vitz or Nissan Vitz? Toyota Vitz. That's a small car. All right. You purchase it. And you want to give it to somebody to run one of these hail taxi services like Uber or Bolt or Yango. Will you give the car to a 12-year-old boy to run it for you? What did you say? No, you will not. Are you sure that you will not? Okay. What about you go to the Trotro station and then you bought the Trotro, and then when the Trotro is full, you see this 13-year-old boy climbing into the driver's seat to drive you from Ashaman to Kaswa. What will you do? You get down. You get down from the bus. Wow. Okay. Question number three. You had a baby, and after 3 months, you need to go back to work. Will you leave the baby with a 12-year-old house girl? Oh, why not? Is she not a person? You won't. You won't do that. Wow. You are telling me a lot of interesting things. Question number four. So you are part of a department in church. Then one day the pastor of the church comes to you and introduces somebody to you who gave his life to Christ 2 Sundays before, and he says that he's the head of the department. What will be your reaction? What will be your response? You tell the pastor that something is not right. Yeah. You will ask the pastor that, so what have we done that you want to inflict this unusual form of punishment on us? So now let me find out from you, but why? Because all the questions that I asked, your responses were all in the negative. I say somebody has gone to buy a Toyota Vitz, and you know, you've gone to buy a Toyota Vitz, and they bring you a 12-year-old boy that you should give the car to him to run Uber services with it. You said you won't give the car to the boy. Why? Legally, he's not of age to drive. What else? Here's what. He's immature. He's inexperienced. So you wouldn't do that. Then you said that if you sit in a Trotro and when the driver comes, it's a 13-year-old boy. Did you say that you'll get down from the Trotro? Will you prefer to walk than to let that boy drive you? But why? What's the reason? He's not mature. He's not grown. Similar thing with giving your 3 months precious baby to a 12-year-old old house help, not your daughter, house help. Even your own daughter, you will not do anything like that. And again, you will not think of something as ridiculous as that, because she's young, she doesn't have the experience, she's not mature, she's not grown. And you can easily rebel against the pastor of your church if he comes and brings somebody who's good, gave his life to Christ 2 Sundays ago, to come and lead the department. Eh? So compassion and welfare. Do you see? Maybe Auntie Aggie travels to the north to go and chill, and then the next Sunday, Pastor comes, Pastor James, not me, Pastor James comes, and he comes to introduce somebody who just gave his life to Christ, and you saw when the person was given it, he comes to introduce the person as the head of that department. Would the members of the department not be unhappy? And again, why? The person is not mature in Christ for anything like that to take place. Is that not so? So you see, the answers that you've given, they reveal a common concern. And the common concern is that the individuals in question, you know, are either not old enough, or they are not mature enough, or both. They are not old, they they are not matured, and they are both not old and mature. And I want to say this to you, that if a person has not grown and matured adequately, it is unlikely that that person will be given certain responsibilities, or that person will be made a leader. And what it means is that for you to be put in a place of responsibility, for you to be made a steward of anything, or for you to be appointed as a leader, there are certain signs of growth and maturity that will be looked out for. Otherwise, you are not likely to do well in that role. Amen. Say amen again. So, what is the thing with all that I am saying? You see, my friends, when it comes to the kingdom of God, and it comes to the Christian life or the Christian experience, there are some things that God will never entrust to us. And there are certain positions that God will never lift us up to if we are not spiritually grown and matured enough. That's the reality. Because he knows that without that spiritual growth and maturity, you will not do well with whatever it is has been entrusted to you. And one of the reasons why sometimes certain blessings, certain promotion, certain elevation seem to have delayed in our lives, one of the reasons why is because we've not matured. It is because we've not grown enough in the Lord. And you know that a good thing, when it is given to you at the wrong time, it can destroy you. How many can understand that? Yeah. It can destroy you. So now, as our intention really for this month is to focus on maturity and leadership, I want to draw the connection of maturity and leadership. I beg your pardon, stewardship and leadership. I want to draw the connection between that and growth and maturity. And I'm interested primarily in spiritual growth and maturity. But whatever I say, really, basically the principles that I talk about and focus on and all of that are also connected to, you know, maturity and growth in the physical realm. Hallelujah. And ladies and gentlemen, just like any human parent wants his or her child to grow and mature physically, God, who is our heavenly parent, also wants every child of his, every Christian, every believer, to grow and mature spiritually. So you will recall that about 2 weeks ago, I started sharing with you on the subject of spiritual growth and maturity, growing into Christ, and I was only able to touch on a few things. I feel it impressed on my heart to finish up what I started so that I can tie it up nicely, and it is certainly connected to the theme of the month, stewardship and leadership. So I need you to get that connection before we move deeper into stewardship and we move deeper into leadership. Is that all right with you? Can you hear me clearly? Should I increase the volume a bit? It's okay. All right. So there were some foundational scriptures we looked at. Let's look at them again. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Can you give it to me? This New Living Translation. Give me verse 16. Okay, verse 17. I don't know which version I have here. So it says, I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard. Give me the New King James Version. Let me see whether that's what I... All right, go back to the New Living Translation. Something isn't... He says, I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends, be on guard so that you not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. So you see, Peter was sharing with the believers of his time about different subjects. If you look at the earlier chapters, he had talked about Christian character. He had talked about knowing God's word, avoiding false teachers. He shared with them about the second coming of Christ and so many other things. Then in verse 18, he says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must do what? Grow. Say that again. Grow. Say that again. Grow. And when he says you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's talking about spiritual growth and maturity. Spiritual growth and maturity. All right? And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now look at verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. Now, can you read the last part of the verse with me? Ready, go. That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is spiritual growth, is that not so? So, in the earlier scripture, this spiritual maturity. So in the earlier scripture, it talks about growth. Here, it talks about maturity. And I'm explaining to you that in both instances, the reference is not to physical growth and physical maturity. It is to spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And God is expecting of all of us that we will grow spiritually and that we will mature spiritually. Hallelujah. I explained to you that spiritual growth is the gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. Gradual. Alright? It's the gradual development of a believer, of a Christian, into the likeness of Christ. It doesn't happen in an instant. You don't grow spiritually in a moment. It takes time. You have to go through different experiences. You don't just give birth to a child and by 3 weeks' time, the child is eating fried yam. We don't do that. That's why if you go to somebody's house and you see that the person is feeding the 6 months or maybe the 3 months old baby with a pin and a boom, with Kobe and Momoni inside, And so that your reaction will be to tell the person that you don't like the child. You are trying to actually kill the child. But is Apim not good? How many like Apim? How many like Abom? Especially the one I yechi ewa asanke muna. Yeshie emune gusu. Na kobinu ebom finfie sa. Na yani ankosia. Enkosia hina opesi edito sumawo. Enkosia miensa. Wow. In fact, I wouldn't mind having that for lunch today. It is good food. But you cannot give that to a 3-month-old baby lad. You are killing the child. And the reason is because the baby is not grown. The baby is not mature. It takes time for the child to get to that place. Around what period would the child be ready to eat a pim and abum? It's only if they developed enough teeth to be able to man, because apem me nada o ending. But as you say, so you know. So you would be careful to give something like that to a child, because the child is not grown and mature. So that thing, that growth process, it takes time. And spiritual growth is the gradual. Everybody say gradual. Say it again, gradual. Is the gradual development of a believer into the likeness of Christ. And that's the reason why we have to take time for people. And we have to be patient with people. You know, sometimes we are impatient. We want to see people growing and developing and maturing at a fast pace. And especially in the kind of world we live in, where everything is fast, fast, fast. We live in a microwave generation. Everything is fast, 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 fast. What's that? She. Alright? That's the kind of world that we live in. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to spiritual growth, it is a gradual thing. So if you are discipling somebody and it is taking time, understand that it takes time for people to grow. It's just that some of us, we keep too long. You have kept too long. You've been a Christian for 10 years, 15 years. You got born again when you were 10 years old. You are 25 years, but you are still immature. You always have to be pampered and crawled. You've not learned to manage a lot of things. That one also becomes a problem. Just as if you have a child and the child is 12 years old, but she's still wee-weeing in the bed. Will you be happy with that? No. So there is a time when we are all expected to grow and mature. But the truth still stands that spiritual growth, it takes time to get there. And if you're growing spiritually, it means you are growing in faith, you are growing in obedience, you are growing in understanding, you are growing in holiness, you are growing in love. These are examples of areas where God is expecting us to grow. Can I have an amen? Tell the person sitting by you, grow spiritually, watching. And then tell the person watching. Tell the person again, watch a grado do ebienya. Then what is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, responsible, discerning, fruitful, and Christ-like. Wait, please. Spiritual maturity is the state where a believer becomes stable, discerning, responsible, fruitful, and Christ-like. So when you see a Christian, when you see a believer, when you see a child of God, and you notice these things about the person, that he's very stable and established, very discerning, responsible, he's fruitful and Christ-like, what that tells you is that that person has matured spiritually. Is it easy to understand? Hallelujah. So a very important important question needs to be addressed, which is the question of, how do I know if I have grown spiritually and I've matured as a Christian? How do I know? What are the signs of spiritual growth and maturity? Understand that God is expecting us to grow spiritually and to mature spiritually. And remember what I said earlier, there are certain things that God has prepared and put together for you and I, but those things can never materialize in our lives until we grow spiritually, until we mature. That is why a father will not give a car to his 12-year-old son to be driving around. You may be rich, you may have a lot of cars, but you cannot do that because the child is not grown and matured enough. I mean, the other time there was this unfortunate situation of a pastor who gave a car to a child, I mean, who was not at that age, and that child killed somebody. I don't know what happened to that thing. Hey, you should have seen the way the pastor was taking on social media. It was not an easy thing. I really felt sorry for him. Yeah. And God wants us to grow. So the question is that, how do I know whether I've grown spiritually? How do I know whether I have matured? And I told you 2 weeks ago that by the grace of God, I have invented an instrument. It's called Spiritometer. Yes. Very soon it will be on eBay and Amazon. Alright? So when you see the adverts, please buy one for yourself. I said, what is the instrument called? Spiritometer. It is used to measure spiritual growth and maturity. Okay? Yeah. So I'm showing you the indicators on the spiritometer. And when you see these things, you know that this person has grown spiritually and this person has matured spiritually. How many of you will buy one of the of these spiritometers for yourself? You won't buy. It's me. You buy. Thank you. How much should I sell it for? Dollars, please. $1,000. Oh, Adele. Let me say Adele. Angel, $1,000. It's a good price. We can buy. Oh, James. Pastor James said we should sell it for $1 so that everybody can check. But the one who invented the thing, what, how do I benefit from it? Oh, I'm a good Samaritan, so. So what are the signs of spiritual growth and maturity? I shared, the first one is hunger and desire for God's word. And you're normal, a come for food, important potter and talk. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about hunger and desire for God's word. If you see a Christian who has hunger and a desire and a yearning and a craving for God's word, it is one of the signs. It's not the only sign, but it is one of the signs that that person is clearly on the path to spiritual growth and maturity. So that is why 1 Peter 2:2 says that as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of God's word. Notice the word desire. There are other scriptures that talk about, so for example, Psalms 119 verse 103 says, how sweet your words taste to me. He's referring to the word of God. It is sweet. And it reveals something that you like, something that you enjoy. Psalms 119 verse 162, it says, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. It is explaining somebody who sees the word of God as a treasure and rejoices in it and is happy because he has access to the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are growing and maturing spiritually, one of the things that we should see about you is that there should be a certain yearning, a certain desire, a certain longing, a certain excitement, a certain happiness when the word of God is coming. You cannot come to church and you are alive all through the first part of the service. When it gets to the word of God, then you balance yourself in your chair and you are sleeping. You are not a spiritual person. Ask the person sitting by you, have you been doing that? So tell the person, change your ways now. So that's one of the signs. The second sign of spiritual growth and maturity, what do you have in your notes? Consistency in prayer. Consistency in prayer. All right? When a person is grown spiritually and is maturing spiritually, that person becomes consistent in prayer. The thing about prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are times when you feel that your prayers are not working. How many have felt that God is not minding you before? Yes. There are times when you even entertain doubts as to whether prayer works. Because there are things you've been praying for some time, you're not getting answers. And then also, the prayer now begins to feel very monotonous. Alright? But ladies and gentlemen, you don't stop praying because it feels monotonous. Your consistency in prayer reveals a certain maturity about you. When you have not matured, that's when you say that the prayer meeting was not nice. Why is the prayer meeting supposed to be nice? What was nice prayer meeting? What's that? There was no shouting enough and all of that. When you've come for a prayer meeting, who are we praying to? So talk to God. You see, we have attached a lot of interesting things to some of these spiritual exercises. So then we have over-garnished. We have over-garnished it. So then the real essence of the prayer, which is you are communicating with God. So communicate with Him. Communicate with Him. That's what you're supposed to do. And when you achieve consistency in your prayer, it's one of the signs that you are on the path of spiritual growth and maturity. You have your quiet time regularly. You speak to God regularly, and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. What's the third thing? Increasing obedience. Increasing obedience. You know, God does not just expect us to hear His word and that's it. With hearing God's word comes an expectation that we will obey it. And when you are growing and maturing spiritually, there is an increase in your obedience rating. You tend to obey God more. Of course, all of us are striving to obey God in deep. I don't think there's anybody here who can say that I've finished obeying God. Is there anybody like that here? You have finished obeying God? No. But on the spiritometer, you can assess whether there is increasing obedience. That reveals something about you, that you are on the path of spiritual growth and maturity. Hallelujah. The next one is control over sinful desires. Control over sinful desires is one of the signs that we are growing and we are maturing spiritually. And spiritual maturity and growth produces increasing victory over sinful habits and fleshly desires. Increasing victory. Increasing victory over sinful habits and fleshly desires. When there is increasing victory over these things, it is a sign that we are growing and we are maturing in the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. Galatians 5, 16 to 21. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly, how often? Constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So now it is listing the characteristics of the sinful nature or the tendencies of the sinful nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. And that is where most Christians stop. But they don't realize that there's more. And you see, the problem with us is that we are very religious in the way we live our Christian life. It's like once I don't have any challenge or any problem in the big five or the big six, it means that I am okay. And this, ladies and gentlemen, was the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees. That's why he could tell them that you are tithing the most little herbs in your garden, but you are leaving the weightier issues of the law: justice, fairness, and mercy. You are leaving those things. And I tell you, sometimes in the Christian race we become very religious. But notice that the problem with the flesh does not just end with the sexual immorality and all that. Look at the other things. Idolatry is when you elevate something in your life more than God, or you make something more of a priority in your life. So if your job is more of a priority to you than God, you are involved in idolatry. You want to say, "Pastor, I don't have an idol to pay or whatever in my house, so how can I be an idolater?" But the influence that money has over you, it is your God, it is your idol. Your marriage can be an idol. Your husband can be an idol. Your wife can be an idol. Your boss can be an idol. A certain friend in your life can be an idol. So anything that influences you more than God, you are in danger of having that thing as an idol. And that's why all of us have to check our lives and see where our priorities line up. Can I have an amen from somebody? Sorcery has to do, you know, with attempting to gain power, knowledge, protection, success, healing, or control through occult or spiritual means that are outside God's authority. You see, anytime you try to get things outside God's authority, either occultic means or other means, what you are involved in is sorcery. And that captures witchcraft and all the other things. And when you are somebody who is always trying to control and manipulate others, you are involved in sorcery. Or yenyeneze. That's why for us as pastors, we need to watch out against that thing. Because before we realize, we are operating in sorcery, when we are supposed to operate under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's why I told you that, you see, true leadership as God set it up is not involved in trying to manipulate, intimidate, control, exploit, dominate people. When you see those things, it is not leadership according to God, I'm telling you. And sometimes what it is we are caught up in sorcery. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, that means conflict and strife, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Now, you thought that it is only the big five that God has a problem with. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you thought that being envious of somebody who has something you don't have, there's no problem with that. There's a serious problem with it. So here is the thing, my friends. As we grow and mature spiritually, God's expectation of us is that we will walk in increasing victory over sinful habits and fleshly desires. We should walk in increasing victory over these things. The thing is this, my friend. You see, when you get born again, the part of you that gets born again is which part? The spirit. But there are three parts to you, to your constitution. There's the spirit, there's the soul, or the mind, your intellect, your will, and then there's also the flesh, the body. The part of you that gets born again is your spirit. Your mind doesn't get born again. Our flesh doesn't get born again. So, after you are born again, there are things that you must do. What must you do with your mind? Renew it. You have to renew your mind. And then what do you have to do with your flesh or the body? Self-control or crucify, mortify, keep under. That was what Paul was talking about. He said, I keep my body under. And I'll tell you this, for as long as we live on this earth and remain in this body, there will always be that battle. So never get to the place and feel that I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't have any problem. Yeah, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do it, but you have anger issues, you have envy issues, you have commitment issues. And we must strive to be victorious more and more in overcoming all of these things that have been listed in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. And don't ever get to a place and see that, oh, me, everything is okay, I don't have any problem. Look, you know, this morning, I got a call from an old friend of mine. Usually she calls when she needs something. Do you have a friend like that? But I've just decided not to mind her. It's not nice, you know. So when she calls like that, you will hear from her. The next time you hear from her, she needs something from you. Anyway, she called me because the rains that fell, was it 3rd of June that it rained again? The anniversary of the previous one. Her place got flooded. A lot of her things were damaged. And she needed some help. I did what I could. But there's something she told me that really made me see that, hey, human beings, we are some way. She said that because of the way her place was flooded, she couldn't sleep in the house. So her only option was to look for a hotel close by for her and her daughter. Can you believe that the hotel people were taking advantage? So now the hotel rates were increased because a lot of people were running away from them. So it's like, Talek, let's make some money out of it. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Look, there's something in us. When you are expecting that we will have compassion and empathy and sympathize with people, sometimes you go to the market and look and see the way prices have been increased. The other day I sent Forgive to go and get me, I use shaving powder, because when I use razor and everything, I end up with bumps. So there's some powder bit that I mix, and then I use a wet cloth to wipe it off. Nothing else works for me ever since I started growing small beard. Now that thing, for some reason, it's not easy to get on the market. He ends up in Accra. Now something that he's been buying 85 cedis, when you go, went to a shop, the woman says it is 160 Ghana cedis. Only for me to call my big brother who uses the same product that I can't get the thing. He says that he bought some 2 days ago. Do you know the price? 55 Ghana cedis. 55 Ghana cedis. I mean, exploit. There's something in us. There's something. There's something in us exploiting people. Yesterday, I went to visit a little boy in his school. not a little boy, secondary school. He got into trouble. They sent him home. His parents were worried about it. So I promised them that I'll go and look for the boy in school. And it was disciplinary related things. He hit somebody. The school wanted to expel him and everything. But when I sat with him in the car, I explained to him that in all of us, there is a beast. It is lying there. The only time you get rid of that beast is when you die. It is there. And if you lose that, show its head. So the Bible talks about crucifying the old man. It's a very difficult man to crucify. And even though we are saved and we have the nature of Christ, there are lingering effects of that old nature that is delivered as well. The lingering effects of it. And that's why, as part of our Christian experience, we need to keep certain things under, keep them under control. And that battle, it runs for the rest of our lives. And one of the signs that we are growing and we are maturing spiritually is when we see increasing victory and we find ourselves dealing more and more emphatically with these things that try to pull us down and to bring us down. So you can always measure yourself in this area also and see that I'm doing better here, I'm doing better here, and you continue working on through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I want to say to you is that, look, for some people, their issues are more stubborn than what others go through. Some people are able to gain control over certain things, it looks like, very quickly. It's by the grace of God, I'm telling you. But you see, for others, their issues are very complex. There are things that people get caught up in when they're 7 years, 8 years old, and it stays with them. So now somebody like that becomes born again, and it's like there's always this battle to deal with certain things in his life. But I'm saying that there must be signs of increasing victory over all these challenges in our lives. And once you see that, it is a sign that we are growing spiritually and we are maturing spiritually. And I want to say to somebody, don't give up. Give up at all. If you realize that you have struggles and issues in certain areas, don't give up. Neither should you keep making excuses for yourself. Trust God. Press on harder. You make a mistake, rise up and press on and fight harder. The failure is where you have fallen and you refuse to get up. That's where the failure is. But if you fall and you rise up and you fall again and you rise up and you fall again and you rise up, I pray that by the grace and mercies of God, may that day come when you will never fall again and rise. Hallelujah. But that you will stay up and just be up there. I pray that God will help us and God will help all of us. And for those of us who are correcto perfecto, let's have patience for people who are struggling with things, okay? Let's be patient with them. Of course, there's also a point where you get to where it's like, ah, but I was the baby, ah. Do you see? There's that place. But generally speaking, there's a certain way we should be patient with people and take time and give them time and welcome them for them to get better. Hallelujah. It's time. Should I close or I should do one more? One more. Okay. They are spiritual people. I was testing you. How many more should I do? How many more should I do? Three! Oh, you are my friend from today. My intention was to finish this, but no struggles. Then the next sign, the fruit of the Spirit becomes visible. the fruit of the Spirit becomes visible, becomes more visible. So when you are a mature believer, a believer who is growing, you realize that you exhibit increasingly more of the Christ-like character. Because the fruits of the Spirit reveal the Christ-like character. And the more of the Christ-like character we see in you, the more we can say of you that you are growing and maturing spiritually. Can I have an amen? So what are these fruits? Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love is part of it. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So when you operate more and more in these fruits of the Spirit, which reveal that you are developing more of the Christ-like character and nature, it is a sign that you are growing spiritually and you are maturing in the Lord. Hallelujah. The next one, stability during trials. Stability during trials is one of the signs that you are maturing and you are growing as a Christian. When you are stable during trials and difficult times. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, one of the things he told the disciples was that in this life, you'll have troubles. Look at it, John 16, verse 33. That's what Jesus said. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Then, can you read the next sentence with me? Ready, go. Here on earth, you will have what? How many? Many what? Trials and what? And sorrows. Where are you going to have them? In this life, my friend. So I'm sure you've heard them say that Obra Ede. Life is a battle full of struggles, full of issues, things that we are contending with, things that we are trying to deal with, things that are opposing us, things that are trying to stop us in our tracks, things that are trying to frustrate us, things that are trying to end our lives, things that are trying to make us waste our lives. But when you are maturing and you are growing, even when you are experiencing these trials and you're going through difficult times, you still remain stable. So James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. James 1, 2 to 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect, mature. That's what it means. And complete, needing nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, trials, difficulties, troubles, they are part of life. But when you grow spiritually and you are maturing in the Lord, you handle them better. You don't fold up and collapse because of the problems you've gone through. You don't sing songs like, nobody knows the troubles I see. Nobody knows the troubles I see. You don't sing songs like that. You sing songs like, I have been tested. My faith has been tried. Satan has attempted to destroy my life. He's robbed, abused, accused, and stole. He's done everything that he could to conquer my joy. But I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. That is the language of somebody who is growing spiritually and who is maturing in the Lord. I have no idea. Look, sometimes you look at people, they seem okay, they look like everything is alright, but if you examine them closely, you see a lot of scars. And the scars are signs and evidence of the battles they've had to wage, of the problems that they've been through, of the struggles that they've experienced in life. The other day I went for an engagement ceremony and I saw the photographer. It looks like he was in a very terrible fire situation. He had burns all over his face and his hands. You know that thing where after a burn, the skin peels off and the skin looks red? It was difficult to watch him, I tell you. But as I sat there and I watched him, it occurred to me that instead of feeling sorry for him, recognize that the scars that he has are signs that he overcame. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Because he could have died. But here he is, he's alive and still living a normal life. The scars are difficult to look at, but they tell a story that this guy, he's been through a lot and he has overcome and he has made it. And let me tell you, my friend, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with in your life, whatever things that you've been through and the things you have been bombarded with that have left scars and marks on your body, the thing is that you're still standing. You are still alive. You are still pressing on. Yes, you've had disappointments. Yes, you've had frustrations. Yes, you've experienced betrayal. Yes, you've experienced rejection. But you're still standing. Only because God made a way for you. May God make a greater way for you in this life. And may He make you more stable in the face of your trials, in the face of your struggles, in the face of the difficulties of this life. Can I hear a loud amen from somebody? Hallelujah. Huh. I think we have to close. But you know, let me just mention the last three. The other sign, humility and teachability. So write down Psalms 25 verse 9. Humility and teachability. When you see somebody who is humble, who is teachable in the faith, it is a sign that person is growing spiritually and maturing spiritually. So if it's, you see, and the thing about humility and teachability, it goes with, you know, you are easy to instruct, you are easy to correct. When you have somebody that you cannot correct, when you have somebody you cannot instruct, when you have somebody you cannot direct, you are dealing with a very proud person, and a proud person is not spiritually mature. So if, like in our dealings with you, every time we have to be extra, extra careful for fear that you would take offense and dash off like a bullet, what that should tell you is that you are not maturing, you are not growing. I'm telling you this. If in dealing with you, we always have to walk as if we are walking on eggshells, you may think that it is nothing, that that's how I am and all of those other things. But what it actually means is that there's still a lot of work. And we are not angry with you, but we are pointing out to you that it is a sign that a certain level of maturity that you should be walking in, considering the number of years you've been in the faith for, it is not there. Of course, all of us have things that God is working on. But don't ignore this. And if you realize that I'm very proud, I'm not humble, I'm not teachable, I cannot be corrected kind of thing, you should be worried about it, because it's not a good sign. Number 8, love for others. When you have love for others, increasing love for others, it's a sign of spirituality and maturity. Number 9, ability to give generously and sacrificially. Ability to give generously and sacrificially. And then the last one, your involvement, your consistency, your faithfulness in the Christian service. Your involvement, your consistency, and your faithfulness in Christian service. It is a sign of your spirituality, spiritual growth and maturity, where you are very involved in what goes on in the house of God, in the service of the Lord. And you are consistent. It's not like today you are here, tomorrow you are not there. And we cannot predict with you, because it's like sometimes you are there, very committed, very faithful. Other times you are not. It's a sign that, you know, there's a question mark about the spiritual growth and maturity. All right? So involvement, consistency, and faithfulness in Christian service. So ladies and gentlemen, these are signs of spiritual growth and maturity. And remember that I've connected it to stewardship and leadership. That it is people who have grown and matured to a certain level that God will entrust certain things to. So it may be praying for certain blessings, but those blessings are not materializing because you are not there yet. I mean, I told you earlier, and I'm closing with this, that when we were coming to church, all right, I picked some people. And when we were coming to church, when we got to the junction, we saw one of the ladies in the area who usually would have come with us. But because she's part of the choir, she was trying to get to church early. She was standing in the rain with her son and a little boy. And I found out that they had been standing there for more than an hour. What is the normal thing that somebody else would have done? I'm going home. But it's like the person is bent on coming to church. Why? It says something. Now, when you see the person, you may not rate her in a certain way. But for me, it speaks volumes about her. Because there are others, they have cars. Their homes are not flooded. Their roads are not flooded. They can come. And interestingly, there was another person that we are trying to get to come to church. Look, I came to drop the first batch of the people and I went back to go and pick this church member to bring her to church and pick some other people. And then there was somebody else who we thought was going to come to church, but the person said she won't come. So this one, my car is there to actually bring the person to church. Now, some of these things, when we talk about them, it is not to shame anybody. That's why I'm careful not to mention names. But the thing is that as a pastor, there are things that are good examples that you have to use. Yes, I'm preaching in your day. And until I give me a make and then you know. So I'm very careful. I'm very, very careful about the examples that I use and everything. And I try very much to protect people. But I've said this to point out something to you. And there's a difference. There's a difference. But my heart was touched when I saw him by the side of the road with the two boys wearing their raincoats. And it's raining. And it's like, where are you going? Anybody who interrogates, I will say that Adena Yo. I saw him in Awujina. But people stand in the rain to go and watch a football match. People stand in the rain to go to their boyfriend's house. She is standing in the rain to come to church. And the church that you don't value, somebody values it. Because she believes that as she comes to church, there's something that is going to happen to her. There's something that God... In fact, I've decided that I'm going to give her a gift. Because that thing that she did, it has really touched. And if you want to join me to give her a gift, see me after church. Rise to your feet and let's close. Somebody is saying, me too, I need a gift. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We are grateful to you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons we've learned about spiritual growth and maturity. We ask, oh God, that you will bless us and you will cause us to walk in this word and apply this word to our lives. May we become more spiritual in you. May we grow more in you. May we be more mature in you in the name of Jesus. We are sorry, oh God, that we've delayed in our progress in spirituality, spiritual growth and maturity. But we ask, Father, for the help of your spirit. Anything we are struggling with, anything that is lingering on in our lives, that we don't seem to be gaining the upper hand over. By the strength and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, give us that ability, the willingness and the strength to deal with those things so that we would experience your victory in those areas of our lives. May we be drawn more and more into you. May we become more and more like Christ in the name of Jesus. And may the change and the transformation in us be visible for anyone who is looking on to see. Thank you, Father, for everyone who made it to church today in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I can't end the service without giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know your state. I don't know whether you really know the Lord. I don't know whether you're saved. I don't know whether your name is written in the book of life. Today, you know, you have an opportunity. It's a rainy day, yes. But it's a fine opportunity for you to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Perhaps you are watching me right now. You are home and you are watching me. I want to say this to you, that life without Christ is a futile life. It's a useless life. But he loves you, and that's why he gave his life and he gave his all for you. And today I want to pray with you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you are here today, as every head is bowed, every eye closed, or you are watching me, wherever you are, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus. Everybody pray this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you are God. I believe you came to die for me. I believe you rose on the third day. And I believe you are alive forevermore. I claim you as my Lord, my Savior, my King, my Master. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.